Lord God, I pray for your words this morning, that they would represent your love and reputation, that my heart would submit to your spirit and not cling to my own, but follow yours, that I might speak in a way that introduces you or leads to you, that your reign might increase in me, in your church, and in this world. In the name of Jesus, amen. I'm going to start another sermon with an apology. I did that last week. I'm going to do it again. I told you that every church I've started with the same 8 sermons, and they've been slightly different, but the same topics. And as I was preparing to do the second sermon this week, God said, "You've got them out of order." And so I apologize. I was not listening as clearly to God as I hoped. I hope you will forgive me for that. But we will do it in His way and not mine. And so this sermon is called The Jesus Way, and normally in the first 8 sermons, it would be number 7. But today it's number 2, and it should have been number 1. This is Jesus. And so for me, I've been a little knuckleheaded, and I've got a guy for that. His name is Jesus. I hope you know that guy. He takes care of all of that. So I know 2 things about life. I know that every human solution needs another solution. In other words, every time we fix something, it needs more fixing. Every time we adjust something, we go too far or not enough, and it has to be done again and again and again. And if we keep getting the same results, we might be doing the same things over and over and over again. That, by the way, is one of our cultural definitions of insanity, right? Is to continue doing the same things and hoping for different results. The reason that is that we are humans and we think we know how to do things, but every human solution needs another solution. And so what we need is to know Jesus's way. Not our way. So let me introduce you to Jesus. Here's the scripture. This is for Colossians 1. I'm going to read it straight through, and then we're going to talk about it. Not the whole of Colossians. This is Colossians 9 through 20. So Paul is praying. "So we have not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of His will, and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. Then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while, you will grow as you learn to know God better and better, stronger in God, centered on our work with Christ. We also pray that you will be strengthened by all His glorious power, so you will have all the endurance and patience you need. May you be filled with joy, always thanking the Father He has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to His people who live in the light. For He has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins." Here's Jesus. "Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through Him, God created everything, and in the heavenly realms and on earth, and He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones and kingdoms and rulers and authorities and the unseen world. Everything was created through Him and for Him. He existed before anything else. He holds all creation together. Christ is also the head of the church, which is His body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead, so he is first in everything. For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. Through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. One more verse. This includes you, who were once far away. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. That's Jesus. Do you know him? So the idea is this. Yes, there is a God, right? This is a line from the movie Rudy. If you've not seen it, the priest says, I've learned two unequivocal things in life. There is a God, and I am not him. Unequivocal, right? This is the Lord. He is first in all things. He was first to rise from the dead. He holds everything together. He made everything, 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 and this includes you. Have you met this Jesus? Well, I don't know. He doesn't come this way. You know, it's not the way he came amongst us. I need to tell you that not only is Jesus, this is who he is, but he has a method. Do you know what the method is?
More scripture.
No, Philippians 2. This is his method. This is who he is. Remember, Lord over everything. Everything made through him, created by him, held together in him. But his method is this. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think equality with God was something to be clung to. Think about that for a second. We think of equality all day long in our modern culture. And I need to tell you something. I think treating people well is a super big deal. But equality wears the clothing of righteousness that unity actually has. Unity is the thing that God is after. He treats us all custom. Well, I want to be treated exactly like somebody else. Well, that is an echo of the people of God before they had a king. We want to be a king just like the other kingdoms. We want to have an Abimelech for ourselves. And so they got a king like the other places. And by the way, that was a human solution, and it needed a different solution. Just like all human kings do. You must have the same attitude of Christ Jesus, that though he was God, the visible image of the invisible God, he existed before anything was created. He is supreme over all creation. And through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms, and he made everything. That though he was that, he didn't think that equality was something to cling to as something that he needed to hold to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave, and being born as a human being, when he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. This is the methodology. I need to tell you that at least 25 or 30 times a year, somebody comes to me and says, I could be in charge of that. You're not doing stuff right. You need to change. You need to do it this way. My way is the highway. Or my way or the highway is usually what they mean. But I'm telling you, that is not the Jesus way. The Jesus method is obedience and submission. He is the Lord of the universe and didn't think that that meant that he had to pick his own way. He submitted himself to God's way, which was to save and rescue and comfort my people, as you just read earlier today. That's what God wanted. Comfort them. They've gone awry. And their sins have been paid double. comfort them. By the way, in Jesus' own words, standing over Jerusalem the week before he was crucified, he said, "Oh Jerusalem, how much I've longed to gather you under my wings and protect you." The Jesus that we know is the Lord of the universe. The method he uses is unity and submission to a process. So how do we get there? How do we learn how to do this? Well, this is the little bit before there. Have you been encouraged from the belonging to Christ? Has he made things right in your life? Anything at all? Anything at all? Because before I knew him, some of you have heard me say this, before I knew Jesus, I pretty much hated everybody. Now, I hope that that isn't the witness that you've experienced from me. I hope that you've found me to be fairly friendly and things like that. But that is a work of God in my life. That is not a natural thing to me. My human solution to the world going wrong was to be mad and angry. And by the way, the payment for that is double, right? It's something that I learned in Christ that I used to say to my kids when they were going to school: smile at your teacher, it'll make your day better. Smile at your teacher, it'll make your day better. And Alex just did it because he was obedience. And Marika wanted to know why, which was lovely. Why would you say that? I said, well, because everybody likes being smiled at, and then they're nicer to the people that smile at them, and thus your day is better. But that's a learned behavior. That's a Christ solution. Instead of being mad and angry at the world and getting mad and angry back. Have you ever yelled at somebody on the phone when they're not giving you the service you want? Has that helped? By the way, I've done my share of yelling on the phone. I've had my share of anger in my life. Now, just the other day, it was something that was coming to me. I was like, well, have you seen me angry, right? I think it was you, Linda. I said, have you seen me angry? And you said, no, I don't think I have. It's a work of God. Have you had any encouragement from belonging to Christ, any comfort from his love, any fellowship together in the Spirit? Yes, my heart has been changed. But not just changed for my sake. Because what happens when the Lord of the universe, when you get introduced to this Lord of the universe who made everything, who is supreme in everything, and you learn first off that you're not God, and that he is, and that you're dependent upon him for everything. Let me define everything for a moment. You know the atoms that hold steel together so that your cars don't fall apart on the road? You're dependent on him for that. He holds all of that together. By the way, all the little chemical reactions that always happen the same way, you're dependent on him for that too. We call those laws in creation, but what those really are, from a spiritual standpoint, is God holding everything together the same, to be consistent for us as a mercy. Can you think about how crazy it would be if gravity changed every day and the rule didn't hold? Your muscles would not be right one day, but they'd be too strong the other day. You'd bounce off the ceiling some days and not be able to get out of the bed. It is a mercy to you that gravity is consistent. And me. It's a mercy to me too. Then make me truly happy, agreeing wholehearted with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind. That's unity. That's not me going, well, wait, I didn't get treated correctly in that spot. I didn't get treated like Roxanne. Everybody treats Roxanne nice. I want to be treated like, no, I'm Dave, she's Roxanne. We treat everybody nice, okay? In the same way that if I'm teaching, I'm going to try to do it obediently to God, and so should you. Because he's the Lord of the universe, we take directions from him. Because he's the Lord, and we are not. But the method is that he isn't out there crushing everybody into obedience. He's wooing them. That's what Isaiah 40 is. By the way, are you aware of the placement of Isaiah 40? The first 39 chapters of Isaiah is God making his case for why the people of God have gone awry. And right after he completes his case, he says this, comfort them. Comfort my people, says the God. Speak tenderly to them. If we're a new church, which we are actually a brand new church, right? 1 month plus a couple of Sundays old. This is what we need to know. We need to know who Jesus is, that he's the Lord of the universe, but that he has this method of being gentle and all this stuff where you say, well, but he's come to judge the earth. No, he came that we would all be saved. Now, you might feel judgment because the standard has entered the room. Do you understand what I mean by that? When Jesus is in the room, you start judging yourself because you know where you're short. Your shortfall. I'm already short, so I don't need to know anything more about that. But your shortfalls are, where your shortfalls are, you know that he has honored you in every way, and you suddenly go, well, I haven't really done that. Oh. For me to know what's right and not do it, that's sin. And suddenly the judgment starts in. But Jesus says, listen, it's the voice of someone shouting, clear the way through the wilderness for the Lord. By the way, all those thoughts creeping in of self-judgment, that's your own personal wilderness. Have you had your own personal wilderness cleared? Have you had the valleys filled and the mountains straightened and the curves smoothed out and the glory of the Lord revealed in your life and all the people will see it together? The Lord has spoken. This is Jesus. This is the Jesus way, isn't it? Now, how do we do that in our own life? We talked about this. We added this a number of years ago, but it was about who we're going to be and how we're going to be. So it's in your bulletin if you can't read it. It's one of the few parts in the bulletin that remains accurate. We've changed everything. Roxanne went on vacation and everything had to change. So the first one, stronger in God. What does stronger in God mean? Discipleship, discipline, learning, education. We're going to raise up others and clear the way in our own lives. Stronger in God. You can't do that without knowing him. It's not true. You could try to know about him. But I tell you, knowing about him is not the same as knowing him. And by the way, he's not looking for another biographer. He's got that handled. So let's learn about him. And then this next one here, abounding in the Spirit. Abounding in the Spirit, that's worship. You understand that? That is worship. Your whole life becomes worship. You acknowledge him shouting the way. He is coming. You become the town crier, if you will. Did you know Jesus? He's coming. Have you met Jesus? You should meet him. Mission. Well, mission, his mission is to return us into the fold, to bring us back into a spot where we can stand in God's presence and not feel like we need to hide. And so we're quick to return to Jesus because he took care of all the sin of all the world. He didn't leave out your specific heinous one that you keep judging yourself for. He handled that. And by the way, when he calls you, he knows exactly which one that is and forgave it. He knows what kind of knucklehead I am. He knows the things I'm going to do right and wrong. And I have to be dependent and submitted to him. Quicker to return. But what that also means is that when we're on mission to him, we're a mission to the world to say, hey, do you realize that we've been forgiven and so have you? Would you like to accept that forgiveness? Can we return to Jesus and just be on mission that way? So you understand that the three massive things of life are to recognize that we need to know more. We need to live into this life that God has called us, which means we have to think about it a little bit stronger in God. And the only way to really do that is to abound in the Spirit, to have him show us how to do that. Because every human solution and every human methodology needs correction, but his is right. Even the way sometimes that we explain or understand him and we've misheard him needs correction later, but not him. Now you might say, but I've seen systems change. I've even seen you change over the years, Pastor Dave. Yes, I misunderstood direction. I misunderstood teaching, and my misunderstanding needs correction. I hope that you'll understand that that's part of not being God, and that your pastor recognizes that he's not God. And I'm so grateful. I do things wrong. And then if I thought I was God, I'd be so proud about it, I would never admit the error, and I'd just duplicate it for half an hour longer than I should. But he doesn't do that. And we have to abound in that Spirit and recognize and worship the Lord God as is right in our lives. And when we get it wrong, return and admit it. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, this morning, I thank you so much for your work in my life and in the lives of those that are here and in the lives of those that are traveling and that are your people, whoever they might be, wherever the world is. I pray specifically that we could be your people, that we could witness and return to you and witness to the return. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for filling our lives with such as you as an example. And thank you for your Father, in which we honor his image in other fathers today. In your precious name, amen.